After coming through the Advent season and the Nativity season, celebrating the birth of Jesus and Christmas, we have kind of an open area here, and I'd like to give a short series of sermons on, I guess, what is known as the attributes of God. We're striving to know our God more and more closely and deeply, and I thought it might be a good idea to just go over some of the attributes that God has. And Pastor Dave was talking a little bit about this. You see that the two messages tie in together. You know, no one understands everything about God. He is beyond our understanding in so many ways. We're limited human beings, and God is God. So it's difficult for us as we try to learn more and more about him. We'll never learn everything about him, but God does make himself known to us in a variety of ways. Through what he reveals about himself in his word. Now don't forget, there's two words of God. There is the written word, our Bibles, and there's the living word of God. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Don't forget, he is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's one of the reasons why we named our congregation Word of God Fellowship. Because number one, we love our Bibles. We love to read from them. We love to preach from them. So Word of God means this. And of course, Word of God means our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel is all about, and his sacrifice on the cross for us. So we learn about God. God reveals himself to us in his word, his written word, and the living word, because don't forget, Jesus came to earth for one reason in particular. He came to die to pay the penalty for our sins so we could be saved, but he also came to reveal the Father, didn't he? To teach us about God. So we read the Gospels, and everything that Jesus taught us, he reflected the Father in heaven. Didn't he at one time say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? So he came as the representative of God the Father, and he and the Father are one. So Jesus himself revealed God to us. And finally, as Dave said, another main reason how God reveals himself to us is through his creation. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. John 17, verse 6. This is what Jesus said to the Father at one point. He had fulfilled his role here on earth by teaching, by being the sacrifice for sins. And this is what he said to the Father. I have revealed you, Father, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So Jesus reminds us that he came to reveal the Father, to teach us about the Father, God the Father in heaven. Another scripture, 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 14. This is a scripture that proves that God reveals himself to us through the Bible, through his inspired word. What did Paul say about the Bible when he was speaking to Timothy? Paul said, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. That means inspired by God, as if God breathed the word into each and every one of us. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Jesus came to reveal the Father. All of the writings in this book have been inspired directly by God through the authors that wrote the different books to inform us, to teach us, to reveal God to us. That's why we love to read our Bibles and study them. And then as far as creation is concerned, as the third way God reveals himself to us, I'll just read here Romans 1, beginning in verse 18. I think we're all familiar with this passage. Paul says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men and women, for that matter, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men and women are without excuse." So all we have to do is look around us and see God's handiwork and see God's wisdom and knowledge, his creative ability. I don't know about you, but you know, in my many years here on earth, I've seen God in so many things. You know, the way he created these human bodies that we have. You know, we complain sometimes about the aches and pains, and now we're getting weaker and our eyesight is getting worse, and but you have to admit it, this is a fantastic bit of creation. These bodies he's blessed us with, the way they work, the way they operate, the way they function. And I've seen a lot of God's creation. For example, you know, in the pets that I've had, I raised 3 dogs and 1 cat, and they're unique in so many ways. You know, the way an animal like that can be devoted to its owner, the love that it has, the courage it will display in protecting you, and even cats do that too. I've seen that happen. But it's just amazing, and you see God's creative ability. You can look at the macro vision of his creation, you know, when these space telescopes look out into distant galaxies, and the beauty and the wonder that God has created in the whole universe, something like a black hole. How can God imagine that? And then you look at the micro vision of God's creation. And scientists still wonder, you know, when you look at an atom and the protons and neutrons and electrons and what holds them all together, the laws that were created that binds the smallest bit of God's creation together, and how the scripture says it's Jesus Christ who holds it all together and keeps it functioning. So God has built his creation so that if we're interested, if we're seeking, we just learn more and more about God. So God is unlike anything or anyone we could ever know or even imagine. What can you compare God to? There's really nothing on this earth. He's one of a kind. He's unique. He's without comparison. Even describing him by means of human language falls short by capturing who he is. Our words simply cannot do justice to describe our holy God. Still, God possesses certain attributes that we can know and benefit from. Certain attributes belong only to God. But there are also certain attributes that he shares with us, though only God possesses them perfectly. So I want to talk about one of those attributes of God that he actually shares with us. So the first attribute we'll talk about is the fact that God is eternal. God is eternal. Now some of you who have been around for a while are probably thinking, you're telling me something I don't know? Of course I know God's eternal. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. The word eternal means everlasting, having no beginning and no end. And just that concept kind of boggles our minds, because we're human. The only things that we've ever experienced in our lives, those things have a beginning and an end, don't they? Everything physical, we personally have a beginning and an end. We were born way back when, you know, when our mother gave birth to us, we had a beginning. And the time will come, as we just read about Jerry Anchors, that on this earth, so to speak, we will have an end, physically speaking. It's given for men once to die and then the judgment, the scripture says. Let's turn to Psalm 90 and verse 2. So when we try to think, when we try to encapsulate the fact that God is eternal, he never had a beginning, and he'll never have an end. That goes diametrically opposed to our human experience. So how can we fathom it? How can we grasp that fully? How can we fully understand it? This is what David wrote in Psalm 90, verse 2. He's speaking to God. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So David was able to grasp somewhat that God was around before the earth was created, before the universe was created, God was there from everlasting to everlasting. So since humans measure everything in time, it's very hard for us to conceive of something that had no beginning, but has always been and will always continue to be. That's God. He's eternal. Now, the Bible doesn't try to prove that God is eternal. The Bible simply begins with the statement, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Bible doesn't explain exactly how that can be. It just states a fact that that's the way it is. Before anything physical existed, God was there, and he has always been there. That's Genesis 1, verse 1. So at the beginning of recorded time, God already existed. God was and is forever. And you know, John started his gospel in the same way. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that means the beginning of the physical universe, the beginning of our physical experience, God was already there, and he had already been there. And I don't know about you, but I often think to myself, well, what was God doing then? What did he do for all eternity before he created this universe and then at some point in time decided to create the human race and deal with us? What was he doing all that time? Well, I'm sure that God was doing something very important. So at the beginning of creation, God had already been there for quite some time, for eternity. We're physical beings who were meant to live within time. And I don't know about you, but you know, I've got a schedule every day. I got a schedule every week, and it revolves around time. Each minute has 60 seconds, doesn't it? Each hour has 60 minutes. Each day has 24 hours. Each year has 365 days, I know, except for leap year. Each year has four seasons. We count the seasons. What are we in now? Winter. And we're looking forward to spring, you know, since we're in a new year, and then summer, and then fall once again, and then back to winter. Our lives are governed by time. But it's not so with God. God is timeless. God is not governed by time. He transcends time. He sees the past, the present, and the future. How can God make prophecies about the future? Because he's already there. Now, that's hard for the human mind to understand. How can that be? Because we're all about time. You know, the start of our life, the end of our life, the years of our lives. Every year, every day, every hour, it all surrounds time for us, but not so with God. The scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. I don't know about you, but I can't grasp that. That's hard for me to understand. God does not view time as humans do. You know, we get impatient with God. We're thinking, Father, we know you're going to send your son Jesus Christ to return to the earth. We are looking forward to it. You know, we pray, your kingdom come. And it's the same prayer in our personal lives. We want things to happen fast, you know. God, here's a prayer for you. I'm looking forward to this happening. Can it happen right away? And God kind of laughs at us because it's going to be based on his schedule, not ours. And God's schedule is different. You know, God says to us, okay, what if I would have sent my son to return 100 years ago? You never would have had a chance to be called. You never would have had a chance to repent and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I think, yeah, it's true. So I want to rely on God's schedule. You know, and he's got everything in order. He's got everything planned, past, present, and even future. And we can give thanks that he sticks to his schedule and not ours. God does not view time as humans do. He stands above time, with the result that when time is seen in light of eternity, an age appears no longer than one short day, and a day seems no longer than a long age. Since time is purely relative with God, he waits patiently while human beings are stressed out with impatience. Because it's all about time to us. So it's hard for us to understand that concept, but that's the way God is. And that's the way God explains himself and describes himself. Now, this is one of the attributes of God that he shares with us. Isn't that wonderful? He is eternal, and we will be eternal, not going backwards in the past, but from the time we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we are guaranteed eternal life from that point forward. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. As I said, God has determined that if we grow to love him, we will share eternity with him. John says, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Talking about the gospel. Stay focused on it. It's part of your faith. It's a part of your life now. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. So can you believe that we're going to live for eternity with God? That's what we've been promised. And you know what? Only an eternal God can share with others the gift of eternal life. That's another proof that God is eternal. And he decides to share that with us. What a tremendous future we have. And it's not just a matter of eternal life, it's a matter of eternal life with God. And there's no better place that we can be. And we can't even begin to imagine what that eternal life with God is going to be like. But I guarantee you, it's going to be really good. Amen. Beyond our wildest imagination. You know, the scripture says, eye has not seen nor ear heard or has even ever entered into the mind what the future holds for us. But God has it all planned out. And that's the confidence that God has in us. He already sees us in eternal life with him in the future. You know, we may doubt ourselves and we may doubt God, but believe it or not, God has faith in us. That's why we have to have faith in God. And what he promises, he cannot go back on. Amen. You know, his word is sure, and God himself said, God who cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie to us or to say something's going to happen that doesn't happen. So that's the confidence, that's the trust, that's the security we have in God through faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, he made it all possible. Only an eternal God can grant us eternal life. And that's what he does. Because he's a God who loves us. He's a God who wants to share what he has with us. So that's what we look forward to. The time's coming that we're going to be invited, not just invited, but welcomed warmly into the kingdom of God. We're in it now. It's still future in its fullness, but that time is coming. when Jesus returns, that we will enter into the kingdom in all of its fullness, and we will be changed. We'll no longer have these physical lives. We'll be changed from physical to spiritual. We will have, you know, new bodies with no more aches and pains, no more anticipating, you know, getting weaker and weaker in the future, and finally death. That will be over with. And we will have the security, and we will have the joy and the happiness of eternal life with God. Let's focus on that. Let's keep looking ahead. The time's coming that God's promises will be fulfilled. So we're thankful that we have an eternal God. We're going to come to understand him even more personally in the future when that time comes. Even though our human minds are limited now in what we can grasp about God, the time is coming where we will see him face to face. And that's a time that's coming, hopefully soon, and we will welcome it with open arms. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for you being eternal. And even though we can't fully grasp that now, we're thankful that that's an aspect of you that you're going to share with us. And we have your word on that. We have your promise on that. And Father, we know that you will fulfill that, and it's going to be beyond our wildest dreams. So thank you, eternal God, for being you and for calling us to share this life with you. You know, Jesus said that he has given your word, and he has revealed to you, to people that God the Father himself called. Jesus said, to those whom you gave me. So it's just humbling for us to consider, Father, that at some point in time, you chose us individually to give to Jesus Christ, to be part of the flock. So we just pray that day by day, we do our best to live up to that calling, to please you, Father, in everything that you've given us to do. We want to be children that you're proud of, and to draw closer to you and to obey you in all ways. So thank you, Father, for this calling you've given us, and we look forward to eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.